Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Fay, and today's date is August the 16th in the year 2020. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a struggle this week in bringing this edition of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America to you, but we think we've gotten everything worked out here in our studios here. When we're broadcasting over the World Wide Web, over Blog Talk Radio, we are streaming over Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And we'll soon be coming to our new YouTube network near the computer, smartphone, an Android device that you are holding in your hand. So welcome. As I indicated, we have a very, very exciting show for you today. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show: if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing LLC is the blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation, design, and workforce development training companies to address the effects of high energy costs that are historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmland and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the unemployed and underemployment numbers between young men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. This show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at Positive Change. That's Positive, P-O-S-T-I-V-E-C-H-A-N-G-E, Change, P as in Paul, C as in cat.com. That's PositiveChangePC.com. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as I've indicated to you, we had a scheduled guest for this week, and I want to personally give my kudos out to Mr. Harvey Bullitt of Icebond Solar, which is the owner, and he attempted to join us on Wednesday of this week. But we will be definitely forwarding a link to this show to him so he'll be able to hear what we are addressing in today's show. But we have a very, very interesting topic for you today, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about there was a recent decision rendered by the Public Service Commission here in Washington, D.C. As D.C. citizens that were supposed to win an increase in internet metering limits, which was supposed to be increased to from 100% to 200%. Now, Mr. Bullitt's organization and him personally, they played a specific role in working on this. But I'd like to sort of set the tone for this morning's discussion by looking back at our July register here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America, because what has happened in a all in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen, is that the powers to be in this country, as we know, have been working overtime to prop up fossil fuels. COVID 45 and his administration, that's one of the other reasons why, come November the 3rd, he's got to go out the door. But to make it plain, in July, there was a victory which was waged. And this particular victory came about because advocacy organizations from all over the country basically worked very, very diligently in getting a petition that was filed to be basically, it wasn't heard, because you had so many people who came out in opposition to this particular petition. And I have been looking truly at how and what the impact would be in terms of how it would deal with net metering. Now, the victory was that the local municipalities, state and local governments who have passed renewable portfolio standard legislation, that they would still be able to have control over granting the retail value to their ratepayers in those demographics, which in fact had installed PV systems on their roofs. And this thing got quite a bit of exposure. And it went on to say this. This is a statement that was sent out by Mrs. Anna Schulman, who is the founder of the organization Neighborhoods United. Dear Ronald, together we stood up for your solar rights, and we won. Thank you. You spoke, and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission listened. Today, the Federal Regulatory Commission unanimously dismissed a petition to end net metering. Anti-solar interests tried to deny solar owners a fair compensation for solar that they produce. But they had to go through us, and we won. Earlier this spring, we learned that a secretive utility front group was trying to take away local control over net metering. We immediately sprang into action to protect our rights. We partnered with Volt, Solar, and many other including tens of thousands of solar supporters like you, and together we won. With a shadowy group called the New England Rate Associate, the NERA, petitioned the Federal Regulatory Commission to end the state's power to administer net metering for solar energy. Solar owners who benefit from net metering would continue to be unfairly compensated for clean energy that they produce. What was at risk? The Regulatory Commission has gotten its way. Net metering would have been on the chopping blocks. Utilities would have been able to compensate solar owners at a rate lower than what they deserve. Net metering ensures that owners receive fair compensation for solar energy produced and sent to the grid. There are approximately 2.2 million residential net metering customers and 100,000 net metering businesses across the U.S. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is what was at stake, and this petition was dismissed by the Federal Regulatory Commission. But here locally in the DMV market area, we have issue as it relates to DC cap that was placed on the size of the systems and how much energy that system could generate. Now, this particular article that we'll be analyzing today speaks to that issue. States like California, and this particular article is written by and authored by William Driscoll, and it was published on August the 12th. Of this year, 2020. It was in PV Magazine. And it went on to say, states like California, whose laws say net metering solar must be intended primarily for self-consumption, would join Washington, D.C. to increase their net metering limit, says D.C. resident David Rodman. David Rodman shopped for the largest allowed solar installation for his Washington, D.C. home because he says, I wanted to push whatever limits there may be. He found that D.C. net metering laws permits rooftop solar that is intended primarily for self-consumption, a limit that was interpreted as 100% of past usage. Maryland net metering laws uses a phrase, yet its regulators set the limit at 200%. The past usage, which reflects a reasonable reading of the word primary, that's being sometimes more than half of the output, staff lawyers for the state regulatory agency explained. So when the local utility denied Rodman's plan for rooftop solar to provide 120% of the past usage, Rodman filed a formal complaint with the D.C. Public Service Commission. A hearing examiner ruled against him, but a lucky break, an attorney suggested that he would file a comment in an ongoing regulatory docket. So I did my best to write something that looks like the sorts of documents that lawyers are representing utilities write, with the right kind of footnote and right footnotes you said, Rodman, you know, I did the research and I just tried to make the argument and was as well as I could in 5 to 6 pages. Last week, D.C. Public Service Commission agreed that Rodman had a regulatory working group that he had joined, issuing a ruling that will increase net metering limits by 20% this year for five years, reaching 200% by 2024. The customers whose generation exceeds consumption will be compensated for the excess generation at a wholesale price per kilowatt hour. The commission may suspend any annual increase due to concerns over reliability, safety, or cost impacts. Now, this is very important, ladies and gentlemen, what I just said. The utility Pepco can pay for that, will be buying those credits. They're called energy credits. And all of the excess energy that system generates that goes back into the grid, he should be receiving what we would call fair return. Now, that is where the issue is. As panels' efficiency increase, enabling them to generate more energy per square foot, DC increased limits to 200% will help the city's future solar buyers fill their rooftops for solar, including those who plan to buy an electric vehicle, electricity there, and heating, and the extended that they do. The increase limit will help D.C. meet the 100% by 2032 by renewable energy mandates. The issue is Pepco is not necessarily paying a fair rate to D.C. ratepayers. And the reason why I'm speaking to that is because there are several individuals who I have spoken to who monitor the systems that they have by their phones. Once you get a PV system installed, I know, utilizing the DC Solar for All program, you are educated around these issues, and you also have an app that you download the readings that will show how much energy and output your system is putting out. And a lot of people's systems are putting out 100%, and they're not using 100%, but they're not being compensated fairly around this issue. That is why I wanted the gentleman on for iSpawn Solar to speak to that issue, and we were not able to be able to get that done. So we will be hoping that we'll be able to reach out to him, Mr. Harvey Bullitt, with iSpawn Solar to address this issue, because everyone is calling out the victory. But in the response here, this particular gentleman said that he didn't care if he wasn't being paid a fair return for that energy, because maybe he can afford it. But I know that there are definitely some DC ratepayers out here, and they definitely need to be able to look at how this income or those credits can come back to their household in the form of a check. Because some folks really, really, truly need that help. Now, you'll be able to find under our news and events tab, DC raised the size limit on net metered systems. And if you look at that, you will be able to see the email that Mr. Bullitt basically has sent out from iSpun Solar. There's also a link to his website there, and that web address is www.ipsunsolar.com. www.ipsunsolar.com. And once you click on that link, it will take you to their website, which will look at experts in solar panel installation in Virginia, Washington, D.C., and Maryland. You'll be able to look at their services, many of their projects, their portfolio, testimonials about them. And you find that this particular company is owned by a young Hispanic gentleman. And as he said, we help you save the planet, spend less, and generate your own power with custom-made solar panel solutions for your home and business. iSpun is inspired by a Latino word that means your own. Why are we called iSpun? We install solar panels allowing anyone to generate their own power. So this is sort of what they're doing. It's a young company, and they're doing some exciting things here at his organization. And you'll be able to link on, and you'll be able to see a one-minute commercial video from Mr. Bullitt. And I'm going to do the honors, since he did attempt to come on our show.
She comes from the Latin ipsum, means yourself. So create your own power, generate your own power from the sun. Ipsum Power offers a highly level engineering customized solar system. So we do customized solar systems for both residential and commercial clients. So for our customers, we do the entire turnkey solution. We go from engineering to permitting and design to also do the actual installation and monitoring and maintenance afterwards. The good thing about a solar system is it's very little maintenance. But if the maintenance needs, we take care of that too.
I've spent my entire career financing clean energy projects from solar power plants to electric vehicles. My role at Ipsum Power is very simple, making solar accessible to everyone. Why would you choose fossil fuels when solar energy is cheaper, cleaner, and more accessible than fossil fuels ever will be? Visit www.ipsumpower.com to learn more.
That was Ipsum Solar, a little very short video that they have on their website. I wanted to sort of give this young man his kudos because, as I indicated, he attempted to be a guest here on this platform, Solar Now in the Future, with his economic impact on Black America. But the reason why I wanted him on the show, I wanted him to explain to me what's the difference. What is a fair return when Pepco can pay you the wholesale rate and you could not receive a higher, what we would call, retail rate? That is what my question is, and I guess it will stay unanswered until I'm able to get this gentleman on this platform and we can talk intelligence about that, because that is what the whole issue was about, why so many advocacy organizations came out against this petition that was filed at the Federal Regulatory Commission. And as I read this, in terms of increasing the output for energy, it's a good thing, but and it definitely needed to be challenged, because D.C. had a cap at 100% And as you are aware of, Maryland had written into their legislation 200%, which will allow for larger KW systems to be installed on people's roofs, which will give them a better opportunity to get a not just cover their energy costs, but to actually get a return on investment in terms of monetary payout because of the additional credits that a larger PV system can generate, especially with, as we've indicated, as more research and development is being done at the solar technologies and research on the DOEE with these millions and millions of dollars of our tax dollars being spent for this research and development. But the question is, how does this return come back to the African-American community? And that is one of the reasons why I wanted to find out what's the difference between someone telling me a fair return, you getting a retail return, and looking at where we are today in the market demographics here in the Washington, Baltimore metropolitan area known as DMV, which is a part of the PJM region. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that I'm not giving you information that you cannot relate to, because if you have a utility bill in Washington, D.C., and you look very carefully, you'll find that whether you have a home or you a renter, you are contributing to paying for this 100% renewable portfolio standard legislation that Mayor Bowser signed into law in January of 2019. It was the Omnibus Act of 2018, which increased the use of solar from a 50% to 100% renewable portfolio standards legislation law, and is one of the most aggressive laws in the entire nation when we begin to look at 100% by the year 2032 from 2019. And there was in that legislation a request by the Department of Energy and Environment for capitalization of a green bank, and that's being passed on in the form of set fees. Also, we had the privilege of having the former head of the Public Service Commission, Ms. Betty Ann Cain, on this show in 2017, and she went to bat over the fact that under the previous law, a 50% renewable portfolio standard, which Bowser signed into law in 2016, that there was a shortfall of DC-based solar, and DC residents spent $15 million extra for energy because of the DC-based shortfall. By the regulations being changed, this even created a deeper shortfall in the district for DC ratepayers. And if you look on your gas, water, and electric bill, you will see these fees that have been passed on to you, ladies and gentlemen, the consumers of utilities in the District of Columbia. And you don't have to take my story. You can research it, as we say, for yourself. So at that note, we're going to take a slight pause for the calls here on the platform of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And when we come back, we're going to look at a university, local university here in the DMV market area that has divested their portfolio in fossil fuels. We're going to find out who that institution is and just how much money they had tied up in the process here on this.
come on, say it.
I do too.
Say it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And as I've indicated right before we took that short break, that we'd be changing gears, and we're going to be doing that right now, ladies and gentlemen. But you can follow us by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. And go over to our news and events link at the top of the page. Click on that and scroll down. And you'll find this particular article, A Fueling Change. Now, this article is speaking to American University. If you're not familiar with American University, one of our leading political science institutions in the United States of America, which is located right here in your nation's capital. And this particular article was written by, authored by Adrian Frank. It was published on August the 11th of this year in the American University magazine summer issue. Fossil fuels are now extinct at AU. This particular article went on to say, it took millions of years for prehistoric plants and organisms buried beneath layers of sediment and rock to mulch into carbon-rich deposits. Only took 6 years for AU to divest from fossil fuels. On April 20th, the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, the university announced it sold $250 million in commingled funds and index funds to complete the divestment of non-renewable fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas supply, 80% of the world's energy, and are number one contributor to the carbon emissions that cause global warming. The Board of Trustees established the Fossil Fuel Free Fund with the university's endowment in 2014. Since then, AU has carefully divested its public endowment portfolio, replacing fossil fuels, holding the investment with similar performing and comparable or lower fees. The university currently has no carbon, 200% companies in its private investment portfolio, but may have small and short-lived positions in the future. The more than a decade, AU has been on a campus-wide sustainability journey, something that not just part of our mission, but part of our DNA, as a changemaker, says President Sylvia Barrow. Our actions, from reaching carbon neutrality to the board's commitment to evolving our investments, will continue to serve as a model for sustainability demonstrations our leadership on the issue and how our community can make an impact on the fight against climate change. The announcement came almost 2 years to the day that AU became the first university in the country to achieve carbon neutrality, and a week after the students' referendum encouraging the board to divest from fossil fuels passed by 93% vote by students passed a similar referendum in 2013. The actions underscores our leadership on sustainability while exercising our fiduciary responsibility for ensuring that the physical health of a great university that serves our nation's more than a central say, trustees Jeff Schein, the 76th chair of AU's Finance and Investment Committee. Our board wants to acknowledge the important work happening throughout the campus to protect the environment and those in our AU community who are taking actions on climate change. And this was the statement that they released, ladies and gentlemen, concerning American University's divestment in their endowment fund of $350+ million to move those monies and put them in different types of stock, which will move them away from their investments in natural gas, coal, and oil. And as you can see, there was a ton of investment there by American University. The question becomes, are our HBCU leadership, our boards of trustees listening? Because we have been on a journey here at Positive Change with our purchasing cooperative, working with African American solar installation and design and workforce development companies, and getting our historically black colleges to look at the issue of sustainability. And we've put together a 5-year HBCU Green Economic Development Sustainability Plan, which we will be rolling out in the very, very short future, because I've got to make sure we got everything in place before I make any public announcements. But I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, if you stay tuned here to this platform, Solar Now and the Future, we've got some real exciting things coming down the pathway, coming right down the pathway. And as we say here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America, we're always trying to attempt to bring you news that you can definitely use. Now, we're going to take a slight pause here and let you know who brings you this show. Now, you know that this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, which serves as the economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation design companies, workforce development companies, and installation companies. To address the effects of high energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities. Black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, develop capacity and initiative for installation projects to bring down the under and unemployment numbers of young black men and women locally and nationally. Also to educate the black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the black community through Black Talk radio programs such as Solar Now in the Future, with its economic impact on Black America, also is brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. You can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. Now, we have been as I've indicated, ladies and gentlemen, working very, very tirelessly with a group. And this group is taking on a name, the name from our organizational standpoint, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, because that's what we are, a membership-based organization. But in working with people, you always understand you have to go with the group. So in doing so, there is a new organization that's being formed as we speak, and it's called the National Association of Blacks in Solar. And one of the reasons why this organization is being formed is because of the topic that I'm going to now begin to look in on as we begin to drill down and look at diversity in the utility regulation as it relates to how is it that when we begin to look at the numbers around the African-American participation in the energy and renewable energy industry, you don't find a lot of folks who look like me and you unless you just happen to be in a city like Washington, D.C., where you would have African Americans in the leadership, such as Mrs. Donna Cooper, who is president of Pepco in Washington, D.C. I don't know whether Mr. Battle is still there as vice president. He's African American, but they provide the leadership for the utility here in the nation's capital. And as you many of you know, that Pepco is a subsidiary of Exelon. But this particular article was written by Scott Hiffling, an attorney at law, and it was published on July of this year in the Energy Democracy Initiative. Dear colleagues, readers of my monthly essays know that for a period in February through March 2021, each month's essay will, in the digest, is a chapter of my forthcoming book, Regulating Mergers and Acquisitions of the Public Utility Industry, Concentration and Corporation Complications. Long title. We may have all come on different ships, but we are all in the same boat. Now, he's basically quoting Dr. King. It seems right, however, to offer this month's reprint of an essay I wrote several years ago about utilities and regular responsibilities to make our industry diverse and non-discriminatory, not just economically, but societally. We may have all come on different boats, but we're all in the same boat. This is a quote from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. When regulators talk about diversity and discrimination, they usually mean fuel types, supplier mix, and transmission access. But it's almost societal relations. It's also societal relations. As our nations become more diverse, so do the customers of our regulated utilities. What is a utility responsibility to reflect the diversity in its employees, contractors? What is the regulatory role? That's a very good question, ladies and gentlemen. And when you look at the numbers put out by the Solar Foundation, you will find there are some very, very disturbing numbers when we begin to look at that industry. There are many voluntary utility efforts, some encouraged through the Admiral Utility Market Access Partnership under the auspices of the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners. But voluntary means voluntary, non-mandatory. If I care enough, when I get around to it, if it doesn't cost me much, if the goal is to eliminate a gap between utility workers' diversity and societal diversity, volunteer isn't enough. The gap, I'm told, persists. Suppose we made the questions tougher. Should diversity be mandatory? Should the utility franchise, a government-granted, government-protected, government-supported right to operate a profitable business free from competition, include obligations to create diversity workforce and contract based and an event? Is a tougher question. Does that obligation exist already? Does the commission's traditional legal authority include any authority to mandate particular efforts or results? 36 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court examined the toenail of this question, answering it mostly negatively. The National Association for Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP, had asked the Federal Power Commission, the FPC, and the Federal Regulatory Commission, the predecessors, to issue a ruling prohibiting utilities from discriminating against their employees based on race. Their proposed rule would have required the commission to enumerate unlawful employment practices, ensure regulatories that to establish a written program for equal employment opportunity, which would be filed with the commission, and provide more programs for equal employment opportunity, which would have been filed from the commission, and provide individual employees to file discriminatory complaints directly with the commission, as summarized in the Chief Justice Berger's opinion. Now, this is what the courts ruled. Citing the Federal Power Act, the Natural Act, Gas Act, the NAACP argued that the FPC substantive statutes declare that business or selling electricity and natural gas to be by the public interest and B, racial discrimination by utilities conflicts with public interest. The FPC interest was both authorized and obligated to bar racial discrimination by its license issuees. The FPC rejected the request, requesting, saying in effect that not our department, both the courts of appeal and the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the FPC as the Supreme Court examined. Use of the word public interest in a regulatory statute is not a broad license to promote the general public welfare. Rather, the words that meaning from the purpose of the regulatory legislation. The principal purpose of the act was to encourage the orderly development of plentiful supplies of electricity and natural gas at a reasonable price. The use of the words public interest in gas and power acts is not a directive to the commission to seek to eradicate discrimination, rather than its charge to promote orderly production and plentiful supply of electricity and natural gas, and just as at a reasonable rate. The National Association for Advancement of Colored People Commission, 4425 U.S. 662, 1976, sympathetic to the petition purpose. The court stressed that the utility discriminatory practice triggered fines, back pay awards, legitimate fees and illegal, disruptive, or unnecessary labor costs, the commission should disallow them from setting just and a reasonable rate. Those actions were within the agency's domain. Regulatory employment practice did not. So, black folk, it's very, very clear, according to the law, are diversity promoters limited to voluntarism, or does the decision leave room for mandate? Technically, the opinion binds only the Federal Regulatory Commission, but the reasoning should be reasonable that in a regulatory statute, we need some workarounds. Here are some thoughts. Assume that the state commission finds a utility hiring and subtracting practices are discriminatory by race, ethnicity, sex, national origin, sexual orientation, or age. Could the commission find this discrimination reduces the utility's response to the public, or that is inflates the utility's cost structure because employees and contracting courts have been deprived of higher quality people? This finding would require factual investigation comparing workforce and real cases and effect linkage between workforce discrimination and utility performance. But at the affirmative answer is plausible. Armed with these factual findings, commission could solve two legal problems left unaddressed in the NAACP's position. In other words, the Supreme Court said it is legal for utility companies to discriminate because it's not about providing equal opportunity under the law, out providing more energy, efficient energy at cheaper cost, and who and how it gets there and who manages that and how they discriminate against people of color, that was not a concern of the courts. I'm not making this up, ladies and gentlemen. You can read it and do your own evaluation and your own interpretation of what this reading is. So it's very clear, having found utility performance impaired by discrimination, what steps could the commission take? In other words, there's nobody regulating the utility companies about discrimination in these utility fields. This is why the Solar Foundation and the Solar Traders Association, SEIA, ask people to voluntarily hire more African Americans in the solar and renewable energy industry. It's not mandated by law. But there's not supposed to be discriminated. You're not supposed to discriminate based on all of those race, ethnicity, sex, national origin, sexual orientation, or age. But that's not what the courts ruled. So as you can hear me, ladies and gentlemen, beat this drum, there is a lot of things that need to be addressed as it relates to racism in the utility industry, and more specifically, when we begin to look at solar and wind and hydroponics, and in these new areas of research and development in this renewable field. We will continue to beat the drum around these issues here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America. But what we would like for our listening audience to understand is that you can get all of this information by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. Now, we're going to give you a slight rundown of some of the things that are available under our news and events tab here at this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. As we said, we're going to take a slight pause for the cause, and we'll be right back here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact.
Someone singing, I can choose, sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Back to the airways, ladies and gentlemen, of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know I'm your host, Ronald Bethea. And as I indicated, we will be bringing you more exciting shows right in the very near future. Matter of fact, we have scheduled here for the 19th, which will be this coming Wednesday, we will have Mr. Thomas Deyo, D-E-Y-O, Deyo, who is the executive director of the Green Bank of Montgomery County, will be our guest this coming week, and we will be hosting here on this platform, Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America, and you can join us here at 11 a.m. on Facebook, Twitter, link. And we're broadcasting, of course, over Blog Talk Radio, over the World Wide Web, streaming, as I've indicated, over Facebook, Twitter, and link. And we will be on YouTube in the very, very near future. We're hoping this week, as soon as our daughter can get here and finish helping us set up this network. So we are working here, ladies and gentlemen, to bring you this show on a weekly basis. And as we've indicated to you, you know this show is always brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC, which serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small. To address the effect of higher energy costs that are historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands, campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young Black men and women locally and nationally, to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impact of climate change and the need for environmental education to the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And it's also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. You can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website here at positivechangepc.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as I indicated, you can go to our news and events tab. And if you go to our news and events tab and you click on that news and events tab, you're going to find, starting leading off, what is social media marketing? U.S. Department of Energy announces $20 million to advance research and development for solar panels. While the planet overheats, Ohio coal industry gets a bailout. I think you'll find that quite interesting. Also, there's a very interesting article about Mrs. Helen Jones Woods, who died at 96 years old, a very, very dynamic lady who was the mother of Dr. Kathy Hughes, the owner and founder of the Urban One Radio Network. Also, you'll be able to find live utilities that have and have not suspended and disconnects amidst during this pandemic. D.C. citizens increased net metering limits to 200% of past usage. Dominion Energy announced $11 million, announced $35 million to benefit 11 HBCUs. Scott McKinley, ex-wife of Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, donates $160 million to HBCUs. You'll see the article, Fueling Change. D.C. tuition assistance grants, D.C. tag, D.C. raises size limit on net metering system, D.C. Chamber of Commerce launches initiative for businesses to apply to seek support for SBE, A, PPP loans, diversity and regulation, D.C.PC seeks public comment on Pelco multi-rate plan for area code 202, National Community Solar Partnerships, DEMS rollout sweeping environmental justice bill, Oklahoma rapid medical cannabis wrap-up, and three ways of hemp fiber production. You'll find that and much, much more, ladies and gentlemen, under our news and events tab here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And we'd like to say we hope you brought you news that you can definitely use. Until next week, we say don't meet us here, but beat us here. Until next week, sayonara. We may say, in other words, go in peace. And until next week.
Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.